RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you news commentary, Today in History, Focus and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news for the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo renews commitment to Eastern Indonesia. The Indonesian House of Representatives to support Working Committee on Plastic Rights issue. Garuda may scrap direct Jakarta-Amsterdam route. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo renewed the government's commitment to spur economic growth in the eastern part of the country with a promise to build a large seaport in Sorong, West Papua, calling it an important step to lure investors to the area. Speaking during the Trade and Investment Forum on East Indonesia on Monday, the president acknowledged that poor infrastructure was a major factor discouraging investors from setting up infrastructure, I should say business, in the underdeveloped region. President Joko Widodo said the government would kick off in July the construction of a seaport stretching across a 7,000-hectare area in Sorong, West Papua, along with an industrial zone and power plant. The project in Papua follows the groundbreaking of another seaport project that took place last week in Makassar, South Sulawesi. Kadin Head of Investment, Banking, Finance and Business Development in Eastern Indonesia, Reza Maspetela, said that to speed up development in Eastern Indonesia, Kadin would launch within weeks a holding company named PT Investasi Indonesia Timur. According to Kadin, currently investments in Eastern Indonesia have reached $50 million. The money has been channeled into fishing, agriculture, and animal husbandry sectors. The Indonesian House of Representatives Commission 4 was planning to form a working committee to investigate the plastic rights reported recently in Indonesia. In response, Deputy Chairman of Indonesian House of Representatives Agus Hermanto appreciated the plan to resolve the troubling problem. Answering the press Tuesday in Jakarta, Agus Hermanto said that the existence of plastic rice in Indonesia has the potential to disturb national economy. However, he believed that the case was not economically motivated.
Ya, haruslah itu supaya masalah beras plastik ini
We must do that to solve the plastic rice polemic. This is an extraordinary crime. This is a strong criminal offense so that the most responsible actor should be hardly punished. We don't think that this is from outside Indonesia. It could be from the inside who want to disturb the governance and our national economy. It should be seriously investigated. This was not economic matter. The material of the plastic rice is more expensive than the rice itself. So why then mix it anyway?
Dalam negeri yang ingin juga menggoyangkan pemerintah, yang ingin mengacau tentang ekonomi kita. Untuk ini betul-betul diselidiki secara pasti. Ini belum tentu bertaraf ekonomi. Bahan biji plastik itu lebih mahal daripada beras. Kok dicampurkan ke situ?
Earlier, Commission 4 of the Indonesian House of Representatives was planning to investigate the plastic rice issue within the country. Deputy Chairman of the House Commission for Herman Khairon said that the issue has made serious impact toward rice sales in the region. The House Commission for will also invite Minister of Agriculture Amran Sulaiman, the largest state agency, including the Food and Drug Monitoring Agency, to be able to reveal the plastic rice issue. The Indonesian House of Representatives Commission 1 held general hearing regarding the government's proposal to open diplomatic relations with the Republic of South Sudan Monday in Jakarta. During the meeting, Commission 1 of the House of Representatives invited experts on international relations, namely Philip Vermont, Sofwan Albana, and Liz Girdansa. In his opening speech, Chairman of House Commission 1 Tantowi Yahya mentioned that the invitation was aimed at collecting inputs regarding the government's proposal. He said that in its proposal, the Indonesian government expected that the diplomatic relation with the Republic of South Sudan will open wider market access in terms of increasing Indonesia's economic income.
Pembukaan hubungan diplomatik kita dengan Sudan Selatan ini diharapkan.
The opening of our diplomatic relation with South Sudan is expected to open wider market access, considering South Sudan is a new country with huge natural potential, and as a new independent country, they have big dependency on goods import in terms of public services and foreign investments. The Republic of South Sudan has abundant natural resources, especially oil and infrastructure development, which have not been well managed
dan belum terkelola dengan baik hingga saat ini.
In response to that matter, expert on international relations Philip Vermont stated that the opening of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and the Republic of South Sudan is an important step to show a commitment to strengthen cooperation between Asia and Africa right after the Asian-African Conference commemoration recently held in Indonesia. However, he mentioned there are also several terms that should be noticed before the establishment of the diplomatic relations, namely the embassy office that can be included in the Indonesian embassy for Sudan and Ethiopia. Philip Vermont also emphasized the need to calculate the security conditions within the country.
Kalau memang yang mau dipertahankan adalah simbolisme dari peran
If we want to maintain the symbol of Indonesia's diplomatic role to encourage a longer cooperation between Asia and the Africa, then it can be done. But on the other hand, there are also things that should be noticed, namely the low-key profile, and we need to see further the situation and how they handle their internal issue, and we do not add their problems anymore. The Republic of South Sudan gained its independence on 9th of July 2011 and joined the United Nations on July 14th. The Indonesian government recognized the independence on July 11, 2011. The Republic of South Sudan has currently opened diplomatic relations with 54 countries, including the People's Republic of China, Japan, India, Turkey, South Korea, Malaysia, Thailand, East Timor, and the Philippines. National flag carrier Garuda Indonesia may scrap its Jakarta-Amsterdam direct flight route because the surface of Soekarno-Hatta International Airport runway is not strong enough to accommodate a wide-body jet with a full load of passengers and enough fuel for a non-stop flight. Garuda Indonesia President Director Arif Wibowo told the Jakarta Post on Monday that are still considering the plan because the airport operator recently decreased the airport PCN or pavement classification number. Garuda Indonesia Operational Director Captain Novianto Heru Pratomo previously said that Soekarno-Hatta's runway was not strong enough to accommodate wide-body Boeing 777ER that take off while carrying the weight of fuel for a non-stop flight with a 100% load factor. State-owned airport operator Angkasa Pura II Operational Director Joko Murjatmojo said that Soekarno-Hatta's runway was indeed unable to accommodate wide-body aircraft that serve direct flights to Europe. Garuda launched its direct flight route to Amsterdam in May last year, surfing the route 5 times a week with its new Boeing 777-300 extended range ER. The non-stop flight can transport passengers from Jakarta to Europe in under 14 hours. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian government plans to cut salt import by 50% this year to ensure the prices of salt from farmers would not tumble in the grain harvest, which is predicted to take place in July. Rianto Basuki, the Director of for Public Development and Business Empowerment of Marine Coastal Areas and Islets of the Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Ministry, said the cut was aimed at stabilizing salt prices. According to the data from the Trade Ministry, salt import last year reached 2 million tons. Salt prices presently stand at 700 to 750 rupiah per kilogram for first quality salt, 540 rupiah per kilogram for second quality salt, and 450 rupiah per kilogram and 450 rupiah per kilogram for third quality salt. Salt prices have been predicted to drop by 5 to 100 rupiah per kilogram in the grain harvest should industries refuse to absorb the commodity. The government would boost the quality of local salt through intensification programs involving 10,000 hectares of salt farms in Madura and a number of locations in the Java's northern coastal areas known as Pantura. The government has launched the Regional Development Bank BPD Transformation Program to strengthen BPD's competitiveness and boost their contribution to regional development. According to Financial Services Authority, OJK Chairman Mulyaman Hadad, BPD's role needs to be revitalized to support economic growth and the people's welfare in regions. Mulyaman on Tuesday said that the strengthening of regional banks is expected to be able to boost capitalization of every bank, which would allow them to participate in the development of productive sectors such as large infrastructure projects. Mulyaman added that this transformation of regional banks is also expected to boost the asset value of every BPD, which has reached 433 trillion rupiah. 6 strategies have been prepared to meet the target: development of joint products, management of shared services, marketing development, network management, portfolio management, and liquidity strengthening. The last item. The scale of disarray in professional Indonesian soccer reached the country's top authorities on Monday after Youth and Sport Minister Imam Nahrawi, who had previously won support from President Joko Widodo, defied Vice President Yusuf Kalla. Nevertheless, the Indonesian Soccer League, which was halted, will likely resume because the Jakarta State Administrative Court, PTUN, issued a provisional decision on Monday ordering Imam to allow the Soccer Association of Indonesia, PSSI, to continue operating. The Vice President received the minister, who came alongside PSSI Deputy Chairman Hinca Panjaitan, Indonesian Olympics Committee Chairwoman Rita Subowo, and former PSSI Chairman Agung Gumelar. The World Soccer Ruling Party, FIFA, has threatened to impose sanctions on Indonesia should the country fail to resolve the mess by May 29th, when FIFA is due to hold its Congress in Zurich, Switzerland. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo renews commitment to Eastern Indonesia. The Indonesian House of Representatives to support Working Committee on Plastic Rice Issue. Garuda may scrap direct Jakarta-Amsterdam route. That was the news.
Here is today's commentary on the installation of a nuclear power plant needs to be built in the area that has a low probability of disaster. In order to implement the maritime shaft that was initiated by the government of President Joko Widodo, Indonesia should be able to establish connectivity. Therefore, Indonesia needs adequate energy in order to build infrastructure. In addition, Indonesia's economy, which is continued to grow, must be supported by an adequate power supply. If Indonesia wants to be an axis of maritime and target high economic growth, it must also be supported with a large power supply as well. One way to improve the power supply is to build a nuclear power plant. Director General of Electricity of the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, Jerman, explained, Indonesia each year requires a new power supply by 7,000 megawatts. To meet these needs, a large plant is required. Jerman said, large capacity power plant only comes from coal and gas energy sources. However, the use of such fuel collided to issues. The coal will lead to air pollution because it produces higher emissions, while gas is expensive. According to Jerman, nuclear technology could be the solution to generate electricity with a large capacity, so that Indonesia targets by 2025, there should be electricity with a capacity of 5,000 megawatts produced by nuclear power plant. The development of nuclear power plant continues to be supported by some circles in the country. Former President B.J. Habibie said a few days ago, the nuclear power plant technology has been appropriately used for Indonesia at this time to supply the needs in some areas. However, the realization of the construction of nuclear power plant seemed not move significantly. Then, what is the obstacle? The main obstacle for the implementation of the nuclear program in Indonesia is not a technical nature, because this time Indonesia has mastered nuclear technology and its human resources have been able to manage it. Among the other countries in Southeast Asia, Indonesia is the most prepared and most technically capable to develop nuclear power plant. Studies conducted by the International Institute for Strategic Studies indicate that Indonesia has more nuclear experts than other ASEAN countries, as Indonesia has 3 nuclear research reactors, various other nuclear facilities, as well as the cadre of well-trained engineers and scientists. The International Atomic Energy Agency also gives a positive assessment of the nuclear infrastructure in Indonesia, which is needed to build a nuclear power plant. However, although it is technically ready, rejection from the society emerged after the incident in Fukushima nuclear power plant in Japan, which is caused by the tsunami. People are concerned with the probability of occurrence of disasters in the country, which is potentially affecting the operations of nuclear power plant and threatening the safety of the people and the environment. Socialization and education to the public about nuclear energy should be more intensively conducted. To eliminate concerns, people need to be convinced that the technology used is the fourth generation that has a higher safety technology than previous generations. While intensive socialization is going on, the construction of the installation needs to be immediately begun in areas in Indonesia which has a minimal probability of geographical disaster, like Smoke Volcano, has a record of low tectonic earthquake to the unique shape of the coastline that makes the probability of occurrences of a tsunami is very small. In an area that has a minimal probability geographical conditions of the disaster, nuclear reactor installation is needed to be built. Remembering, to build a nuclear reactor takes about 10 years. Therefore, it is no need to wait until the national energy supply really reduces, so a new nuclear reactor is built. Well, listener, that was commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past, as recorded in history. On May 26, 1966, Guyana gains its independence from Spain. On May 26, 1966,
Guyana, which is located in northern part of Latin America, gained its independence from Spain. The country which then colonized Guyana in early 18th century, there was fierce war between European nations that occurred in Guyana, Suriname, Venezuela, and a number of areas of Brazil. In 1815, the Vienna Agreement was signed by the countries involved in the war. In the agreement, it was determined the boundaries, as opposed, to be divided among the colonial powers. In the allocation, Guyana became a British colony area until independence in 1966. However, at that time, Guyana has a status as a member of Commonwealth. It was only in 1970 Guyana truly relinquished all ties with colonial powers, namely the United Kingdom. Guyana region has an area of 215,000 kilometers. The country is located in the Atlantic Ocean and is bordered by Venezuela, Suriname, and Brazil. On May 26, 1972, the United States and the Soviet Union signed the Agreement of Anti-Ballistic Missile. Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty was the treaty between the United States and the Soviet Union about restriction of anti-ballistic missile system that was used to defend the territory against nuclear weapons carried by missile. On May 26, 1972, President of the United States Richard Nixon and Secretary General of Communist Party of the Soviet Union Leonid Brezhnev signed the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty. The treaty forced for 30 years from 1972 to 2002. Now we conclude with another historical event on May 26, 2005, Radius Prawiro passes away. Radius Prawiro was born in Yogyakarta on June 29, 1928. He was an Indonesian economist and politician. He became one of the decision makers of Indonesian economy during New Order era. Various important positions in the field of economy and finance have been served by Radius Prawiro, such as finance minister, Bank Indonesia governor, as well as an important representative of international institution and agency. In the Independence War, Radius Prawiro also participated to serve as officers of Supreme Headquarters of Indonesian People's Army Transportation in Yogyakarta from 1947 to 1948. Radius Prawiro passed away on May 26, 2005 in München, Germany at the age of 76 years due to heart disease. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. For today's edition, it's on Indonesia and Myanmar built Rakhine. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. Myanmar welcomed cooperation offered by the Indonesian government to establish an open and non-discriminatory state of Rakhine in Myanmar. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi said in Nai Piat Thaw, Myanmar, recently, that the development of Rakhine as a state Muslim Rohingya to live is one of the points of agreement during her visit to Myanmar. The development in the area is expected to solve the problem of migrants' exodus, including those stranded in Indonesia. She also stressed that Indonesia would continue to support Myanmar in the process of democratization and reform. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi added, in addition to the construction of an inclusive and non-discriminatory Rakhine, Myanmar government also agreed to cooperate with regional countries in combating human trafficking. The issue of human trafficking has become one of the basic aspects of migration issues that must be addressed jointly. Myanmar government also ordered its embassy to immediately pay a consular visit to refugee shelters, including in Aceh, Indonesia. Rohingya refugees' country of origin must work together to find long-term solutions. Director of International Security and Disarmament of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Andi Rahmianto, said the Indonesian government will release a presidential decree to address the issue of Rohingya refugees. It is already in the Ministry of Justice and Human Rights and just waiting for finalization. Andi Rahmianto also pointed out that the rules of this regulation have been prepared since 2 years ago. It's not only to address the Rohingya refugees, but also other migrants such as those from Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Somalia who have been in Indonesia for a dozen years. Meanwhile, U.S. Deputy Secretary of State Antony Blinken, who also visited Myanmar on Friday, said the main problem of Rohingya exodus must be addressed to deal with this humanitarian crisis. According to Blinken, the Rohingya people who choose to flee are in a poor condition and need to be restored. They do not see the future in a refugee camp in Myanmar. They should be sent back to their hometown, of course, by providing education, health, opportunity, and freedom to move. Rohingya, according to Blinken, should be given way to get citizenship because it was the unclear citizenship status that made them flee. He also confirmed that so far, Rohingyas living in Rakhine often receive discriminatory treatment not only from the government but also from local residents who are predominantly Buddhist. That was focus of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, on Indonesia and Myanmar built Rakhine.
Listener, coming up next, a headline of some national newspapers published on Tuesday, May 26, 2015. We start from Kompas. In its headline, writes about the selection committee of the Corruption Eradication Commission invites people to register themselves. The selection committee, Pansel, of the Chairman of Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, 2015-2019, rejected intervention from any parties since they take duties. The selection committee also invite all Indonesian people to have competency to register themselves as candidates of KPK chairman. Leader of selection committee of KPK chairman, Destri Damayanti, in Jakarta on Monday said, "We cannot be a good nation if we do have higher corruption level." On Monday, 9 members of the selection committee of KPK chairman met with President Joko Widodo at the State Palace. President hoped the next appointed KPK chairman can strengthen the KPK institution. Now, Media Indonesia in its headline writes on investment of Eastern region is promoted. In several days of post-increasing level of Indonesia's debt outlook, done by Standard and Poor's from stable to positive level, effort to increase investment is getting more a rise from various parties. The government through the state-owned enterprises BUMN want to manage 70% infrastructure and irrigation in Eastern Indonesian region. President Joko Widodo stated, "The natural wealth of Eastern Indonesia is able to support the need of self-sufficiency in rice, as well as maritime potential, that is estimated of about 80% from the total of fish potential in Indonesia." While Republika writes, President Joko Widodo support the Youth and Sport Minister. Minister of Youth and Sport Imam Nahrawi said, "The revocation of legal rights of freezing PSSI is not only an option related to the national football. However, he considered the possibility of revision of the decree he has been issued." It was said by the minister in his meeting with Vice President Yusuf Kalla in Jakarta on Monday. Meanwhile, President Joko Widodo, according to Minister Imam Nahrawi, as revamping for the future of Indonesian football. We conclude with Business Indonesia in its headline, writes about 52 business sectors get tax allowance. Indonesian government decided 52 certain business sectors and 42 certain regional business sectors outside Java to get tax allowance with a minimum investment of 50 billion rupiah and absorb a minimum of 50 workers. The stipulation was decided in the regulation of the Minister of Industry, number 48/2015, on criteria and implementation of utilization of income tax to investment in the field of certain business sectors and certain regional business sectors of industry. Listener, that was headline from several newspapers published today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing,
connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo renewed the government's commitment to spur economic growth in the eastern part of the country with a promise to build a large seaport in Sorong, West Papua, calling it an important step to lure investors to the area. The Indonesian House of Representatives Commission 4 was planning to form a working committee to investigate the plastic rice reported recently in Indonesia. The Indonesian House of Representatives Commission 1 held general hearing regarding the government's proposal to open diplomatic relations with the Republic of South Sudan Monday in Jakarta. During the meeting, Commission 1 of the House of Representatives invited experts on international relations, namely Felix Vermont, Sofwan Albana, and Liz Girdansa. The government has launched the Regional Development Bank BPD Transformation Program to strengthen BPD's competitiveness and boost their contribution to regional development. The scale of disarray in professional Indonesian soccer reached the country's top authorities on Monday after Youth and Sport Minister Imam Nahrawi, who had previously won support from the President Joko Widodo, defied Vice President Yusuf Kalla. National flag carrier Garuda Indonesia may scrap its Jakarta-Amsterdam direct flight route because the surface of Soekarno-Hatta International Airport runway is not strong enough to accommodate a wide-body jet with a full load of passengers and enough fuel for a non-stop flight. The Indonesian government plans to cut salt import by 50% this year to ensure the prices of salt from farmers would not tumble in the grand harvest, which is predicted to take place in July. That was News in Brief.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention three tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief biodata as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Thank you for still listening at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with English Bulletin. Next segments, we have Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again on Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, as well as art and culture from various regions in Indonesia. I'm Hernita. In today's edition, I'll invite you to visit Gresik Regency, East Java Province. So stay tuned. Listener, mushroom rock is a rock shaped like a mushroom. The rock is composed of two different parts. The bottom part is formed like the base, and the top part is formed like an umbrella. The unique rock was formed as a result of erosion of rock by water and wind over a very long time. There are phenomena of the unique rock structures in some countries in the world, such as Taiwan. In Jialu tourism area, Taiwan, there is a unique mushroom rock, which is known with the name the Queen's Head Mushroom Rock because it's shaped like the head of queen. As in Taiwan, it is a unique phenomenon that is actually found in Indonesia, precisely in Gresik Regency, East Java Province. Listener, mushroom rock is located in Bungah sub-district, Gresik Regency. It is a limestone mountain that have relatively low soil fertility, such as small number of plants can grow in the area. Unlike the mushroom rocks in Taiwan, the mushroom rock in Gresik consists of several mushroom rocks, so it is better known with the name a mushroom hill. Besides being a natural process, the process of forming the hill was also affected by human activities such as limestone mining. According to the local people, the limestone hill was exploited around the 1990s, and it is also known by the name Kaliwat Hill. There are about 40 more mushroom rocks at the site of almost 1 hectare wide. One of them has the highest peak of 7 meters high. Dear listener, the sensation given by the mushroom hill is very different compared to other tourism locations in the region. Besides being able to see the unique mushroom-shaped rocks, you will feel as in the land of the fairy tale world, because you among the giant mushrooms. This tourism area is actually very unique, so that it is suitable for those of you who like photography. During your stay in the tourism area, you can see sunrise in the morning and sunset at dusk. Meanwhile, during the day, the blue sky becomes an interesting feature to be photographed. If you visit during the day and feel hot, you need not worry because rental umbrellas available here. Dear listener, the hill is open to the public only on Sundays from 6 until 17, because every day, the activity of rock mining is ongoing. The visitors should pay an entry fee of 3,000 rupiah for motorcycles and 5,000 rupiah for car or four-wheel vehicle. If you visit this location, you are expected to bring their own food, because there have no food stalls at the site. The location of Mushroom Hill is very easily accessed, either by private car or public transportation. From Gresik City, the distance is about 20 kilometers to the north coast or Pantura. Dear listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topics Bukit Jamur or Mushroom Hill. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is membantu ibu, or in English, helping mother. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Membantu. Membantu. In English, to help. Ibu. Ibu. Mother. Belanja. Belanja. To go shopping. Barang. Barang. Things. Membeli. Membeli. To buy. Sayur, sayur, vegetables. Apple, apple, apples. Daging, daging, meat. Perlengkapan, perlengkapan, equipment. Mengepel, mengepel, to mop. Lantai, lantai, the floor. Setiap hari, every day. Pergi. Pergi, to go. Ke pasar. Ke pasar, to the market. Tiga hari sekali. Tiga hari sekali. Once in 3 days. Tugas. Tugas, chores or task. Memasak. Memasak, to cook. Mencuci. Mencuci, to wash. Menjaga adik laki-laki. Menjaga adik laki-laki, to mind a little brother. Umur, umur, age. 3 tahun, 3 tahun, 3 years. Pulang, pulang, to go home. Menunggu, menunggu, to wait. Di rumah, at home. Next is a conversation on membantu ibu, or in English, helping mother. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice, and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Ana and Ani. Hai, kamu berbelanja apa? Hai, kamu berbelanja apa? In English, hai, what did you buy? Banyak sekali barang yang kamu beli. Banyak sekali barang yang kamu beli. In English, there are so many things that you bought. Saya hanya membeli sayur, apel, dan daging. Saya hanya membeli sayur, apel, dan daging. In English, I only bought some apples and meat. Selain itu, saya juga membeli perlengkapan untuk mengepel lantai. Selain itu, saya juga membeli perlengkapan untuk mengepel lantai. In English, in addition, I also bought some equipment to mop the floor. Apakah kamu setiap hari pergi ke pasar? Apakah kamu setiap hari pergi ke pasar? In English, do you go to the market every day? Tidak, saya ke pasar hanya 3 hari sekali. Tidak, saya ke pasar hanya 3 hari sekali. In English, no, I go to the market only every 3 days. tugas saya yang lain adalah menyapu, mengepel, dan mencuci piring. Tugas saya yang lain adalah menyapu, mengepel, dan mencuci piring. In English, my other chores are sweeping, mopping, and washing the dishes. Tugas kamu apa selain ke pasar? In English, what are your chores besides going to the market? Kadang saya membantu ibu memasak, mencuci piring, dan menjaga adik laki-lakiku. Kadang saya membantu ibu memasak, mencuci piring, dan menjaga adik laki-lakiku. In English, sometimes I help my mother cooking, wash the dishes, and mind my little brother. Berapa tahun umur adik laki-lakimu sekarang? Berapa tahun umur adik laki-lakimu sekarang? In English, how old is your brother? Sekarang dia sudah berumur 3 tahun. In English, now he is 3 years old. Maaf, saya harus cepat pulang. In English, sorry, I have to go home early. Ibu pasti sudah menunggu di rumah. In English, my mother must be waiting for me at home. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Dolan Pane. In Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. And in today's edition, I present you Drive Band. Well, listener, let's listen to a song entitled Karena Kita or Because of Us by Drive Band. Happy listening.
Sinar matamu masih seperti dulu saat engkau tinggalkan diriku. Tempat ini, malam seperti ini, kita lepaskan tangan dan menangis. Kau datang menggali kenangan, menghidupkan rasa yang pernah ada.
We know that the Dry Band was established since 2003, and with their hard work, Dry Band has successfully achieved a very sweet result. Their songs go on to become hits. Dry Band now consists of full personnel with a new vocalist, Tirta Adila. In 2013, Dry Band also officially joined the new record label, Fix Productions, which released any album of the Dry Band. Dry Band's genre of music is pop rock and has become the character of songs in the music world. A total of 4 studio albums have been released by Dry Band and get good response from their fans. Well, listener, let's listen to a song entitled Katakanlah or Say It by Dry Band. Happy listening.
Seakan menahan matahari itu kembali melakukan hal yang tak mungkin, menelusuri jalan pikiranmu saat ini membuatku tak berhenti berpikir. Apa yang telah berubah sikapmu padaku? Oh, adakah yang ku tak pernah tahu? Jika ada sesuatu yang membuatmu gelisah, yang kau ingin katakanlah, yang kau mau katakanlah padaku. Tak ingin kau merubah keadaan ini. Aku merindukan kamu yang dulu. Apakah ku harus meninggalkan semua kehidupanku, semua yang tak kau suka? Apakah ku harus tak lagi menjadi diriku?
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.